Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Always like it when I get a brand new face across the table, somebody I've never met, somebody I've never seen, somebody I know nothing about. And that's him. It's Dr. William Thierfelder. You got me all mixed up now. Dr. William Thierfelder, who is the president of Belmont Abbey College. Now, somebody might say, what are you talking about Belmont Abbey College for? We're straight across the street from Winthrop University. Well, it's because I don't know anything about Belmont Abbey College. They're not far from here. I got a friend of mine who made me aware of all this, and I said, okay, get the man down here. Let's find out about him.
Well, we're close enough. We're cousins.
that's about right. Yeah. So, Bill, tell us a little bit about you, if you would.
Wow.
I'm going to say the Cliff Notes version.
The Cliff Notes version. Well, I am married to a saint, Mary, and we have 10 beautiful children.
10?
Yes. I figured you'd like that.
10? I thought I saw that. I thought it was a misprint.
It had to be a typo. No, but 10 just beautiful children, and I've been very fortunate. I've competed at an international level in track and field. My doctorate's in sports psychology and human movement. I'm a licensed psychologist. I often say God has a good sense of humor because he's put me in all kinds of things that I have no business being in at all. And I think that's so in the end, everybody will know where all the good stuff came from. Right? But I've had a great experiences in sports medicine and sports law and sports business. And now I've been 20 years at Belmont Abbey College.
And you were qualified to be in the Olympics years ago, but you got yourself hurt somehow.
Yeah, that's another whole long story, too. But, yes, I was a high jumper. I'll really date myself here because people listening probably wouldn't even know what I'm going to talk about here. But I was what's called a straddle high jumper. So when you see high jumpers today, they all go over across on their backs.
Right.
I was a straddle high jumper. I actually kicked up my leg and rolled over the bar.
Not doing the Fosbury flop.
I was not. I was the last, probably one of the last people in the world, to be honest with you, not doing the flop.
How high could you jump?
My best jump, I went to the University of Maryland. My best jump there was 7'4" and a quarter.
Ooh. And, boy, so that's good.
It was okay.
It was okay.
Yeah.
What is the high jump record now?
Oh, it's 8 feet. I know. A guy by the name of Sotomayor from Cuba some years ago did that.
You don't still just fool around with it, do you?
At this point, I don't know how I ever did it. You know, I look at those heights and I think, my gosh, how could I have gone over that? You know, you look at a door jam and you're like, oh, that was easy, just going over a door jam.
You know. Oh, my goodness. So how does a guy who has such a robust background in sports, which you do. I got 2 pages of all the sports stuff you did.
Yeah.
Good thing you went to Maryland. You were a terrapin down there. Got that. So how does a guy who does all this in sports get into being a college president?
I apologize. Like, there are no short stories. I don't know how to, like, abbreviate some of this, but I was president of a company called York Barbell Company up in Pennsylvania. It was a manufacturer of health and fitness equipment, an international manufacturer. We provided equipment to all the major stores you can think about. Plus, we were the official provider for Olympic Games and World Championships type of thing. So I was president of this company. We had a great life. We lived in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
I've been there.
There's no reason in the world to ever leave Hershey, Pennsylvania and my job. We had great friends, great church. You know, everything was wonderful. But I was at work one day, and I'm reading this newspaper called the National Catholic Register, and there's an article on this left-hand side that I'm reading. And out of the corner of the eye, I caught the phrase Benedictine, you know, college.
Right.
And I've always had an affinity for St. Benedict, so I looked over to see what it was, and I looked at it, and it was this ad for the president of Belmont Abbey College, which I have to tell you, I never heard of before. But for some reason, instead of going back to the article, I started reading the ad. And at the end of the ad, I did something I never did before. I cut it out. And I brought it home to my wife, Mary, that evening. And I don't know why, but I just showed it to her. And I said, you know, what do you think about this, right? And she's probably looking at me like, yeah, what are you thinking about this? And we talked about it for like literally 10 minutes. That is it. There's no more to be done. That's it.
Whoa. We got 10 kids, and we're going to move them.
Well, we have 8 at the time.
Oh, only 8. Okay,
we
got 8 kids at the time.
Yes.
And we're going to pick up lock, stock, and barrel, and we did this discussion in 10 minutes?
No. This was like, we weren't even talking about doing this.
Oh, okay.
This is just 10 minutes we talked about this.
So, and she shut you down.
No. We just talked about it, and that was it, right? But for the next 5 days, I find the piece of paper. It's either in my pocket or my folder. I see it every single day, and on the 5th day, I don't know why, I feel compelled. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I call up the phone number. There's no name on it. Guy answers the phone. The first thing I say to him is, look, you might think I'm crazy. I am not looking for a job. Can you just tell me more about this? After 45 minutes on the phone, the guy says to me, I think you're the person for the job. Yes. Now, I'm from the Bronx, New York. Constant hustles happen very fast. I figure I'd be giving this guy a credit card number in 5 minutes. You know, you too can be a college president. And I was really taken back. I'm like, you don't even know me. You're telling me I should be the person to be the president of school? I said, so what are you thinking here? And he goes, well, we've interviewed 50 people for this job. We've selected 5. I'm about to present them to the board of trustees, but he goes, I really think you're the person. I need to meet you right away. This is now Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is the hour of mercy. And I said, when's right away? And he goes, I need to meet you this Friday morning. I said, I can. I'm flying up to Pittsburgh to meet with Dick's Sporting Goods. I can't do it. His next breath, he says, I'm flying through Pittsburgh on Friday morning. I said, okay, God, I'll go meet him at the airport. So I went there at like 6 o'clock in the morning. For 2 hours, he's drilling me about my scholarly background. I do not have a scholarly background. Matter of fact, to put it in perspective, when I went to the University of Maryland, they told me my major was eligibility. So that is my major, right? And he keeps asking me these questions. So after 2 hours, I figure he's going to say, you know, thanks so much, but be on your way. Instead, he catches me completely off guard, and he says, I'm now confirmed. You're the person for the job. Are you still interested? I heard myself say yes. I remember leaving the airport to go to my meeting, and I thought to myself, I've never seen this place. I mean, and we didn't even have a website to even go look at it. But I've always trusted in divine providence, so I left. I went to my meeting. I almost forgot about it, but 6 weeks later, they called up and said, would you and your wife come down to be interviewed? And I remember we flew into Charlotte, and we drove over, and the very first time we saw, we both took a collective breath and said, oh, I mean, we were really drawn to it. And I have to tell you, the first thing we did, there's a beautiful church there, Basilica. And we went in and we prayed. I went to the front pew and my wife and I were praying because I was praying for discernment. Is this just crazy? Or are we supposed to be here?
Did you light any candles?
No. We just prayed. And, and I had such a sense of peace out of my wife because I wouldn't be here if my wife didn't have the same call.
I got it.
We met the community, we met faculty, we met students, and long story short, a week later, I'm driving, after accepting, I'm driving back to, in the car with Abbott Placid, who's the head of the monastic community there, and as he's driving, I said, by the way, how many people applied from that ad? He doesn't say anything to me, he holds up one finger. I was the only person that applied to that ad. And so, that was 20 years ago, and the call is exponentially stronger to be there today, so again, all the good that's happening there, we know where I'm pointing up right now. We know where all the good comes from.
Good for you. That's quite a story. It's a good story. So tell us about Belmont Abbey. And how old is it? How far is it from here? How many students do you have?
Well, it's literally 6 miles from Charlotte International Airport. It's only 15 minutes from uptown Charlotte. It's right on 85. Literally 85 went through their property. The monastics own this like almost 700 acres of land, and the highway went right through the middle of it, which everybody might think is a great thing, but for monks, they're not so thrilled about a highway going through their property. They're looking for for silence and prayer, and but it's been good in a sense for the college and for our connection with the city of Charlotte and
sure.
beyond. So it's been there since 1876. It is a story of Providence, how it got to even be there. I mean, how's a Catholic college end up in the middle of the Bible Belt down here, right? So that's another whole story that's quite remarkable as well. But we've been there, and it's been just an extraordinary place. The work that's been done there is amazing. If you drive by and see the beautiful Gothic brick buildings, the monks literally dug up the red clay when they arrived. There's nothing on this property with 2 shacks and holes in the roof. They literally dug up the red clay, they formed them into bricks, they dried them in the sun, they designed the buildings, and they built all the buildings by hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's amazing.
Whoa. So how many students do you have up there?
About 1,600 undergrads.
Small school.
It is, and we do that purposely. Matter of fact, if you read today, most schools are in danger of closing because enrollments are dropping off the cliff right now.
Sure.
Ours has been the opposite. We've continued to grow, and we've made a conscious decision to stay around the 1,600 because, not that you can't be a bigger school, and there are bigger schools, but the kind of relationship we have with our students, if you get above the 1,600, you start to lose that really intimate personal connection with your students. And so we've consciously said we're going to keep our undergrads at about the 1,600. We're now growing our graduate programs, so those can grow as much because they're online. We can go as far as we want with those. But the traditional is going to be about what it is right now.
So the curriculum at Belmont Abbey is directing you, what, in any one of a number of different directions?
Yeah, it's a liberal arts education.
Right.
And some people might say, well, is there a benefit to this liberal arts education anymore? And I would say to you, here's a fact. Any student today graduating from high school, research is showing that they're going to have something like 14 to 15 career changes. Now, you tell me how you prepare for 14 or 15 career changes. You don't take a narrow idea of education and say it's some utilitarian thing where I'm going to learn this one set of skills and now I'm going to have a job for the rest of my life. You have to know, you have to be able to think well. Can you think logically? Can you articulate your ideas? Can you write extraordinarily well? If you can do those things, you can go do anything in your life. So the basis of the education is in this understanding of Western civilization, understanding your purpose in life, what it means to be a good person. You know, what's your purpose? You can also then concentrate on particular areas of study. So if you want to have a business degree, I mean, our pre-med is unbelievable. We have a 95% acceptance rate to medical school.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it's 100 to any other kind of science you can think about. It's an incredible program. Our honors college is outstanding. I mean, just brilliant. The students that are in there, just wonderful, good people. But it's a great, what's called a great books program, where you do a close reading of the great books, where there's discussion and dialogue and writing. But that program's unique because you can still do the great books program and still have a major. So if you wanted to be an accountant, or you wanted to go into medicine, or you wanted to be a nurse, or you wanted to do education or history for that matter, whatever it might be, you could still do the honors degree.
So are the monks still there?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. Like, this is their apostolate. So, in other words, we're not some separately, you know, separate entity that happens to be on the same property. As a matter of fact, the main administration building where my office is connected to the monastery.
How about that?
So it's an incredible story. And so these monks, for people that don't know what a monastic community does, these are men that come together seeking God, and they believe by working and praying and living together in community, they're going to come to a deeper, more profound love of God. And the Benedictines in particular have a great love of Scripture. So they pray literally, formally, together as a order, six times a day. And all of their prayer, people say, what's going on there? It's all Scripture. So here we are in the South where there's many people who love Scripture and love the Bible. This is what they pray all day long, 7 days a week, 365 until they get buried out in the cemetery. I mean, it's a remarkable vocation. They're praying the Psalms. They're praying, you know, they read the Gospels. I mean, it's beautiful. That's their motto is Ora et Labora, which is to pray and work. And so that's their prayer life. And then the way they carry out the rest of their life is this apostolate, which is called Belmont Abbey College.
So they are teaching.
Some of them teach. Some of them are in campus ministry. You know, some are helping with the administration of the college. So it's...
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Isn't that interesting? Now, I have not been there, obviously.
You got to come.
Well, you're getting my interest in this thing. Because the school I went to was owned by 21 Episcopal Diocese a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got the understanding of about the religious affiliation. We used to have, they don't have it anymore, a certain number of daily required services we had to go to.
Okay.
So many Sunday services we had to go to. Dress code, all that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right.
So the students that are attracted to Belmont Abbey.
Yes.
Are they coming from all over the country?
Yes. 50% of our students come from outside of North Carolina.
Wow.
Which is pretty significant for a small college. 50% of our students are Catholic and 50% are not. I'd say the other 50% are mostly Christian. But that tells you something about the school.
Right.
In other words, you can say, well, wow, why do so many people that are not Catholic go to this Catholic college? And it's because of the Benedictine charism of welcoming each guest in persona Christi. That means as Christ. So we see Christ in you, and we say, come on in. We love you. Whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your faith, come on in.
Right.
What I will say to you, though, it's very purposeful, though, that we are Catholic, because that is the reason why we do what we do. In other words, our Catholicity is a guarantee to you of why you're going to be treated so well because of what we believe.
Very interesting. Now, do you have athletic teams?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Okay.
We are the seventh largest athletic program in the United States.
Hello?
Division 1, 2, 3. So the only people ahead of us right now are Harvard, Cornell, University of Michigan, Ohio State, McKendree, Princeton, and then Belmont Abbey. By numbers, not percentage.
So you have a full range of sports.
We do. Matter of fact, we have, I think with development teams and everything else, probably close to 40 different opportunities for men and women to participate.
Have you gotten into this esports yet?
We have a little bit, and we're very limited on it because we would limit the kinds of games that could be played.
Ah,
so, I got you. So there's limitations there in some ways. The thing about our sports that's very unique is that it's about sport and virtue. And when you hear those two things together, you're thinking, maybe is there a choice to be made? Either you're going to be really, really good athletes or you're going to be really, really good people, as if somehow the two are mutually exclusive. And, of course, they're not. We ask for the whole thing. And so the conference we're in, which is Conference Carolinas, the tagline for the conference is champions in body, mind, and soul. Tell me where you have another conference in the United States of America that has the word soul in it. And so that is how we approach athletics. It's about the development of the whole person, body, mind, and soul. We don't see ourselves as parts. You know, we're not just brains sitting in a classroom. We are a whole person in a classroom, whether you're on the playing field or in the classroom. And so there's something about this full development that is important to us as human beings.
Interesting. All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, Doc, I bet you haven't done anything like this before. We're sitting here at the Mecca of restaurants.
I love it.
It's called Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We prepare fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week. People keep coming back for a reason. And the reason is in those white little letters that you and I are going to say together at the count of three. Are you ready?
Let's go.
One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Spring is here, and so is the annual Come See Me Festival. This is Charlie Ruffalo. Remember, whatever your Come See Me plans, Substation 2 subs are perfect for picnic lunches at Glencairn and tailgating at the Winthrop Farm. Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Order online at mysubstationii.com.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Relax with a discounted mortgage rate from Founders Federal Credit Union without paying for discount points. For a limited time, don't pay the 1% fee and get the lower rate. And don't forget, Founders never charges for PMI or private mortgage insurance. Unlock your dream home with a great rate and a Founders expert to guide you through the home financing process. Stop by a convenient office location or apply on Founders online by May 31st to lock in your lower rate. Visit foundersfcu.com/mortgage to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Equal housing lender.
Spring is here, and so is the annual Come See Me Festival. This is Charlie Ruffalo. Remember, whatever your Come See Me plans, Substation 2 subs are perfect for picnic lunches at Glencairn and tailgating at the Winthrop Farm. Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Order online at mysubstationii.com.
C Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very interesting program with Dr. William Thier. I don't know why I can't read this. Thierfelder. It's not that hard. Thierfelder, who is the president of Belmont Abbey College, right up the road from us. As he said, he's closer to the Charlotte Douglas Airport than we are. So yes, that's how close he is. So do you guys get together like with Winthrop University over here or York Technical College or whatever?
Well, I mean, there's kind of a close fraternity of, you know, college presidents and so forth. But you know what? Everybody is so busy. They are just down in the weeds in their own place. So it's not like we have a lot of time to spend with each other.
I got you.
But we get to different events.
So you got 700 acres up there.
Yes.
And the interstate took part of it.
Yes.
Which I hope the government paid you handsomely for.
But not really at the time.
I got you.
This is back in the 60s, right?
So you're using how much of that 700 acres?
The college itself is about 160 acres, okay. And then the rest is, in a sense, in the process of being developed. And that development is for the support, ultimately, of the monastic community and the college.
Ah, good revenue stream.
God willing.
God willing.
It has to be. It's being developed now, so it's in the beginning stages.
And what, residential, commercial?
It'll be all. So there is some commercial on it now. There is some retail. There's Walmart, Lowe's, Chick-fil-A, other entities, but that's in a sense still a very small portion of what is still to be developed as we go forward. And so we're in discussion now, moving towards a master plan, a master developer for the entire property.
So with 1,600 students,
yes,
and you're trying to hold it at that level,
yes,
are you actually growing the physical campus in terms of, we need more of this, or we have to replace this, that kind of thing?
Well, we've made some great new additions. We just built two new residence halls for $43 million. they're gorgeous, but boy, are they expensive. We added $10 million of new science labs, $2 million of new nursing facility, a number of other, you know, updates and improvements to buildings have been made. So it's, we're at a point where we may not need to expand much more in terms of the facilities, given where we're holding the numbers right now.
And I remember reading something that I guess our mutual friend Frank Trotta said.
Yes, Frank's a great guy.
That I think, if I remember this correctly, you all have been very successful, have been very good stewards with your money. And you not only reached your goal on a capital campaign, but you've gone beyond that or something like this?
Yeah, again, this is part of divine providence. You wouldn't think a small place like Belmont Abbey could do this, but we actually launched a $100 million capital campaign, which is no small number. I'm a person who appreciates a dollar, you know, so $100 million is really almost mind-boggling to consider. But we publicly announced it last February, and within a year, we had finally reached our goal of $100 million. Based on the urging of many people that participated in it and those that want to, they urge us to expand it. And so we've expanded it to $150 million. The next $50 million, 15 of it will go towards 150 endowed scholarships for the Honors College. 15 million of it will go to 10 academic endowed chairs. And then the last part is to build a new monastery for our monks.
How about that?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that the next thing we're going to do is we're going to have tuition-free college for the students.
Well, I'll tell you what, about 10, 11 years ago, I lowered our tuition to $18,500 was the sticker price. So you tell me where you can find a private college that has a 95% acceptance rate to medical school that has their list price as $18,500. In that time, we've only raised it to $19,500. And that's only for last year's class. We guaranteed everybody that comes in, whatever they come in at, they will have that tuition for the 4 years they're here. We give out scholarships. So the average person is probably paying about $12,000.
Now, is that per year or is that per semester?
Year.
Year?
Yes. I know you see, I knew you found it. You got it. You see how remarkable that is.
Private college, a year's tuition, $19,000. A year.
A year.
That's everything? Books? That's, rooms?
Well, room is, if you're like, whether you're a commuter or you're living on campus, obviously there's charges for room and board. But the tuition is $19,500.
Phew.
It's great. It's unbelievable, actually. Yeah. You know?
So here we are. I spent the whole program talking about the college. You wrote an interesting book that I want you to take a few minutes to tell us about. It's called Less Than a Minute to Go, The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sport, Business, and Everyday Life. Tell me about this book.
Well, again, it was one of those things where I had no intention of writing a book. I was urged by somebody to write this book, and I said, no, I really don't have time to do it. And they said, well, look, you've done so many podcasts. I had like some like 500 shows. And they said, we'll just go into those, and we'll take it out, and we'll get somebody to write this for you, and we'll come up with this book. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, why do I want to do this? And then they said, well, look, do this for Belmont Abbey. And then they got me. I said, okay. So by the way, I get nothing from the book. Everything from the book goes to Belmont Abbey College. So I get zero from this book. But so we went with this plan. And then they sent me the first draft of the first chapter. And I realized, oh, my gosh, I am now going to have to write this book because it was so far off of anything I would ever say or do. And so I hunkered down, and it took me about 8 months. But I wrote this book. I got Mike Krzyzewski, the former head coach at Duke, to do the foreword for it. But the book is really about what I alluded to earlier. It's really about this development of the whole person, understanding how do you achieve world-class performance. And we think that you have to give something up to get world-class performance. When we see someone that's at a world-class level who's exhibiting a great deal of vice, we say, well, that's just the way it is. What do we got to do? Our problem is that we don't demand virtue. World-class athletes are world-class athletes. It really does not matter. You're just a good athlete. I mean, you can't see me, but I'm 6'8", right? So, I mean, there's not a lot of people born 6'8", but that's what you are, and you're athletic, and God gave you talents to do things, right? So it's seeing, though, how to use these skills, talents, and abilities in all ways. And virtue and world-class performance is far better than vice and world-class performance. If I take two people side by side, the one that's exhibiting vice is going to not perform as well as the one exhibiting virtue.
You also talk in the book, from what I understand, about how sports just prepares you for all of other life's challenges.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the sacrifice it takes, the discipline, you've learned to internalize discipline. If you think about a coach, if anybody's listening has ever done any athletics, when you first start, usually it's the coach who has to goad you along, you know, like, okay, get running, come on, pick it up, you know, whatever it might take. But if that coach is truly a good coach and knows how to properly direct sport, then what starts to happen is those virtues, that discipline suddenly becomes internal. And within a short period of time, you don't need anybody telling you what to do. You want to do it because it's the right thing to do.
So with your background in sports and how much you understand how it makes the whole human being, do you have requirements for sports up at Belmont Abbey?
There are no requirements, but I would say a vast majority of students are involved in some kind of athletic activity. And if not, we have theater. I don't know if you know this, we have the longest running theater program in North Carolina. It was founded, it began in 1883. So they have all kinds of physical activities going on in the theater program as well. But yeah, so it's about this, again, development of the whole person. We're not just parts.
Well, his name is William Thierfelder. He is the president of Belmont Abbey College. I appreciate you coming down here today.
Oh, my gosh, Manning. This was awesome. By the way, the setting here for people that I almost want them to come here and see this, you know. I mean, it's remarkable how you do this, and I love it. It's fantastic.
Well, thanks to our mutual friend Frank Trotta for putting this all together and you taking the time to come down here. Great. And I will come up there one day. I know Frank's going to grab me and say, come on, we're going to come up and
come up for lunch.
Yeah, we'll do that one day. Okay. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay, Bill, we're going to see how this is done now. I got the knuckleheads here. We these guys don't even know what college is all about. We do fresh subs and salads here 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. Why? How do we do it? It's in the white letters, and we're all going to say it together at the count of three. Are we ready, knuckleheads? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. You're excluded, Bill. You're not a knucklehead. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.